Mr. Cargall, I'm Frederick Treves, your new lecturer in anatomy.
Books on scrofular and applied surgical anatomy. I'm happy to see you rising, Mr. Treves. I like to see merits credited, and your industry, accomplishments, and skill all do you credit. Ignore the squalor of Whitechapel, the general dinginess, neglect, and poverty without, and you will find a continual medical richesse at the London Hospital. We study and treat the widest range of diseases and disorders, and are certainly the greatest institution of our kind in the world. The Empire offers unparalleled opportunity for our studies, as places cruel to life are the most revealing scientific. Add to our reputation by going further, and that will satisfy. Have you got your quarter house?
On Wimpole Street.
Good. Keep at it, Treves. You'll have an FRS and 100 guinea fees before you're 40. You'll find it an excellent consolation prize.
Consolation? I don't know what you mean.
I know you don't. You will.
A happy childhood in Dorset. A scientist in an age of science. An Englishman in an English age. A teacher and a doctor in the London. 2 books published for my 31st year. A house. A wife who loves me. My God. 100 guinea fees before I'm 40. Consolation. For what? As of this year, AD 1884, I, Freddy Treves, have excessive blessings. Or so it seems to me.
Comes only to the announcing. This side of the grave, John Merrick has no hope or expectation of relief. In every sense, his situation is desperate. His physical agony is exceeded only by his mental anguish. A despised creature without consolation. Comes only, step in unseen, to live with his physical hideousness, incapacitated and deformity, and unremitted pain is trial enough. But to be exposed to the cruelly lacerated expressions of horror and disgust from all who behold him is even more difficult to bear. Come, so, step in unseen, for in order to survive, Mary forces himself to suffer these humiliations. A repeat, humiliation, in order to survive, as he exposes himself to crowds who pay to gape and gawk at this freak of nature, the elephant man.
Oh, see Mother Nature uncorseted and in malignant rage.
The sign's absurd. Half elephant, half man is not possible. Is he foreign?
Right. From Leicester. But nothing to fear.
I'm from the London across the road. I would be curious to see him if there is some genuine disorder. If he's merely a mass of papier-mâché and paint.
Don't pay me nothing. Enter, sir. Enter. Stand up. How cold does it, donkey?
I must examine him further at the hospital. This is my card. I'm Treves. I'll send a taxi round to pick him up and return him. This card will gain him entry.
By Bob, and he's yours for the day.
I wish to examine him in the interests of science, you see.
Oh, sir, I'm Ross. I look out for him. Get him his living. Found him in a Leicester workhouse. His old ma put him in there, age of 3. Couldn't bear the sight. Well, you can see why. Now we, he and I, are in business. He's our capital. Now you go to a bank, go anywhere, want to borrow capital, you pay his interest. Scientists even. It's good value, though. Do not find another like him.
Fair enough.
Aye. Out here, Mary. Out, old daddy donkey, out!
Thank you.
The most striking feature about him was his enormous head. Its circumference was about that of a man's waist. From the brow, there projected a huge bony mass, like a loaf, while from the back of the head hung a bag of spongy, fungus-looking skin, the surface of which was comparable to brown cauliflower. From the top of the skull hung a few long, lank hairs, the osseous growth in the forehead, at this stage about the size of a tangerine, almost occluded one eye. From the upper jaw, there projected another mass of bone. It protruded through the mouth like a pink stump, turning the upper lip inside out and making the mouth a wide, slobbering aperture. The nose was merely a lump of flesh and recognizable only as a nose from its position. These deformities rendered the face utterly incapable of the expression of any emotion whatsoever. He could weep, but he could not smile. The back was horrible, because from it hung as far down as the middle of the thigh, huge, sack-like masses of flesh covered with the same loathsome cauliflower stain. The right arm was of enormous size and shapeless. It suggested, but was not, elephantiasis, and was overgrown also with pendant masses of the same cauliflower skin. The right hand was large and clumsy, a fin, or paddle, really, rather than a hand. No distinction existed between the palm and back. The thumb was like a radish, the fingers like thick, tuberous roots. As a limb, it was useless. The other arm was remarkable by contrast. It was not only normal, but was, moreover, a delicately shaped limb, covered with a fine skin, and provided with a beautiful hand, which any woman might have envied. From the chest hung a bag of the same repulsive flesh. It was like a dewlap suspended from the neck of a lizard. The lower limbs had the characters of the deformed arm. They were unwieldy, dropsical-looking, and grossly misshapen. There arose from the fungus skin growths a very sickening stench, which was hard to tolerate. But to add a further burden to his trouble, the wretched man, when a boy, developed hip disease, which left him permanently lame, so that he could walk only with the aid of a stick. Easy. He was thus denied all means of escape from his tormentors.
Mr. Tree, you have shown a profound and unknown disorder. You have said, when he leaves here, that he's for an exhibition here. I do not think it ought to be permitted. It is a disgrace. It is a pity and a disgrace. It is an indecency in that. It may be a danger in ways we do not know. Something ought to be done about it.
I am a doctor, sir. What would you have me do?
Well, I know what to do. I know.
Customers. Don't see the queens of the jungle.
Pugs nose.
Cosmos?
Congo! Lands of darkness! Oh, look at them, lad! It's freer on the continent. Loads of indecency here, no one seems to mind. You won't get the coppers come round and roust you out like in London. Reckon even Brussels is our fortune. Here, you have a little tete-a-tete with that lot. I'll go see the coppers about our permit to exhibit.
Ross!
I'll be right back.
I come from England. At home they chased me out of London. Police, someone complained. They beat me. You have no trouble, no?
Hello.
In Belgium we make money. I look forward to it. Happy the signing. Do you pay your police? How is it done? We do a show together sometime, yes? I have saved £48.02.09. English money. Ross takes care of it for me. Little vocabulary problem, eh? Poor things. Looks like someone put your noses to the grindstone and forgot to take them away.
Quick, they're coming! They're coming! Ready! Indecency, and it is forbidden here.
Well, what about them with their perfect carnage?
They are ours.
Well, competition's good for business. Where's your spirit of competition?
Right here.
Don't do that, you'll kill it.
Be better off dead, indecent bastard.
Indecent!
I see
please! Please! I've been there every one of your flesh and blood.
Doesn't hurt. Ostend will always mean bad memories, won't it, Ross?
Look here, lad. I've decided. I'm sending you back.
Back?
You're a flop. Ah, you're a liability. You're just not the money maker, I figured, so that's it.
Hello?
Here's your kit. Here's a few bob. You have a nosh. I'm keeping the rest for my troubles. Deserve it, I reckon. Invested enough with you. I'll just kick up your stink if I stick around here. Stink of failure. Stink of lost years. Just stink. Stink! 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 Stink!
That's the one. Here, just see you safe to Liverpool Street Station, will you? Here's where you're coming.
Lost!
What did he say? That was an imbecile, just next time.
Lost!
never seen anything like it. Like being bored in a bloody cartoon.
You got somewhere to go in London, lad? They can't stay here.
Yeah, it's an imbecile. It doesn't understand. Search him.
Here, you got any money?
Whoa!
What's that?
He just makes sounds. Frightened sounds is all he makes. Go through his coat.
Here, now you don't let me go through your coat. I'll turn you over to that lot.
Don't upset yourself.
I was only joking.
Jesus!
You Johnny Merrick? He's got a car here. What, someone give you a card? What's this old card here, Johnny?
What does it say?
It says Mr. Frederick Treves, lecturer in anatomy, London, Oxford.
I'll send someone for him. It's not far.
What's he doing, eh? Lecture you on your anatomy. People who think right don't look like that, then, do they?
Jesus!
Yeah, Treves. What is going on here? Look at that mob. Have they no sense of decency? I'm Frederick Treves. This is my car.
This poor wretch here had it just arrived from Newstead.
Good Lord. Merrick. John Merrick. Good Lord. What have they done to you?
Help me!
I am looking for the help of an experienced nurse, you see.
Someone to bring him food, take care of the room. Yes, I understand. But it is somehow difficult.
Well, I've been let down so far, you see. He really is quite... Well, the regular sisters, it is not part of their job. And they will not do it. Be ordinarily kind to Mr. Merrick without, well, panicking. He's quite beyond ugly. You understand that? His appearance is terrifying.
The photographs show a terrible disease.
It is a disorder, not a disease. It is in no way contagious. Though, in fact, I don't know what it is. I have encountered a rather strange superstition with those who have tried. They seem to believe that he somehow brought it on himself. This thing. And it is not like that at all.
I'm not one who believes it is ourselves to attain grace, nor bring chastisement to us, sir.
Miss Sandwich, I am hoping not.
Let me put your mind to rest. Care for lepers in the East, and you have cared, Mr. Treves. In Africa, I have seen dreadful scourges quite unknown to our more civilized climes. What at home could be worse than a miserable and afflicted rotting black?
I imagine.
Appearances do not daunt me.
That is exactly what has sent me outside the confines of the London, seeking help.
I look unto the hills whence cometh my help. I understand. I think I will be satisfactory.
Good.
Is London.
Ah, perhaps you would care to accompany me. I will introduce you.
Allow me to carry the tray.
No, I will this time. You are ready.
I am.
Come. He is bathing to be rid of his odor. John,
this is Miss Sandwich. She is going to be taking care of you for a while.
Oh, my good God in heaven!
I am sorry. I thought...
Thank you. For saving my lunch this time.
Excuse me. You really have let me down, you know. I did everything I could to warn you, but still you let me down.
You didn't say.
But I did say.
You didn't. You said just words.
But the photographs.
Just pictures. No one will do this. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, this is not helping them.
Of religion and knows passages of the Bible by heart. Once I'd grasped his speech, it became clear he certainly had religious instruction at one time.
I believe it was in the workhouse, Dr. Howe.
They are awfully good about that sometimes. The Psalms he loves, and the book of Job perplexes him, he says, for he cannot see how a just God can cause suffering, as he puts it, merely then to be merciful. But that Christ will save him, he does not doubt, so he's not resentful.
Christ had better be damned if we can.
In any case, Mr. Treves, he has a religious nature. Further instruction would uplift him, and I'd be pleased to provide it. I mean to speak of him from the pulpit this week.
I see our visiting bather has flushed the busy Bishop Howe from his cruciform lair.
Speak with Merrick, sir, as I have spoken to him, of mercy and of justice. For there is a true Christian in the rack.
Well, this makes my news sound banal. Yet, Frederick, the response to my letter to the Times about Merrick has been staggering. The English public has been so generous that Merrick may be supported for life. Without a penny spent from hospital fund.
But that is excellent.
God bless the English public.
Especially for not dismembering him at Liverpool Street Station. Freddie, the London is now home for incurables. This is most irregular. But for you, I permit it. Now, God knows what you'll do.
God does know, sir. And Darwin does not.
Well, he had better, sir. He deformed him.
I had apprehensions coming here. I find it most fortunate that Merrick is in the hands of Mr. Treves, a Christian, sir.
Freddie is a fine man and a brilliant doctor. And that is fortunate, indeed.
I could not have raised the funds, though, Mr. Gaunt.
Good. Let me keep you no longer from your duties, Mr. Treves. Yet, Mr. Gaunt, consider... Is it science, sir, that motivates us when we transport English rule of law to India or Ireland? When good British churchmen give up hearth and home for missionary hardship in Africa, is it science that bears them away? Sir, it is not. It is Christian duty. It is our obligation to bring light and benefice to benighted man. That motivates us. Even as it motivates Treves towards Merrick to bring salvation where none is. Gordon was a Christian, sir, and died at Khartoum for it, not for science, sir.
You're telling me not for science.
I will visit Merrick weekly, if I may, Mr. Treves.
You will be most welcome, sir, I am certain.
Then good day.
Sir...
Well, Jesus, my boy, now that we have the money, what do you plan for Merrick?
Normalcy. As far as possible.
So that he may be like us? Ah.
Is there something wrong, Mr. Gaunt? With us?
Treves was precisely saying that no one would intrude when you intruded.
Well, he's warned now. Merrick does not like it.
He was warned before. On what penalty, Will?
Oh, you sacked me, sir.
You are sacked. You, his friend, you work here?
Snork, sir, I just started.
Well, I hope the point is taken. Now,
oh, Mr. Gormore, I am truly sacked, am I?
Yes, Will. Truly sacked. You will never be more truly sacked.
Well, it's not me, see, my wife ain't well, and my sister's got to take care of our kids and of her, well.
Think of them first, next time.
Well, it ain't as if I interfered with his mates.
That is exactly what it is. You may go.
You're just keeping him to look at in private.
There are priorities, Frederick. The first is discipline. Smooth as the passage to the tight ship's master. Frederick, you are safe from pride. Now,
have we nothing to say, John?
The balls have been scared of me being sacked. There'd be whole towns out of work.
I meant thank
you, sir. Thank you, sir.
We always do say please and thank you, don't we?
Oh, yes, sir.
If we want properly to be like others.
I want to, sir.
Then it is for our own good. Is it not?
Thank you, sir, Mr. Bond.
Sir. You are welcome.
You are happy, dear. Are you not, John?
Oh, yes, sir.
The baths have rid you of your odor, have they not?
First time, sir, I had to bathe regularly.
And 3 meals a day delivered to your room?
Yes, sir.
This is your promised land, is it not? A roof, food, care, protection? Is it not?
Oh, right, Mr. Trees.
I will bet you don't know what to call it.
No, sir. I don't.
You call it home.
Never had a home before.
Well, you have one now. Oh, you want to say home?
Home?
No, no. What did you say? I have a home. This is my home.
I have the home. This is my home. This is my home. I have my home. I have for as long as I like.
That is what home is.
That is what is rule.
If I abide by the rules, I will be happy.
Yes, sir.
Don't be shy.
If I abide by the rules, I will be happy.
Very good. Why?
Why not?
Why will you be happy?
Because this is my home.
No, no. Why do rules make you happy?
I don't know.
Of course you do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Why does anything make you happy?
Well, like what? Like what?
Don't you say? Rules make us happy because they are for our own good.
All right.
Don't be shy, John. Say it.
This is my home!
No, no. About rules making us happy.
They make us happy. Because they are for our own good.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I must submit a follow-up report on you to the Pathological Society. It would help if you told me what you recall of your early years, John. To fill in gaps.
To fill in gaps?
Hmm.
no workhouse hole where they put me. They beat you there like a drum. Boom. Boom. Straight for the floor. Shang the pan. Boom. Boom. It never ends. The floor is always dirty. The pan is always tarnished. There's nothing you can do about it.
Necessity. Will find other employment. You don't want people staring at you, do you?
No.
In your own home, you don't want crowds staring at you, or anyone, for that matter, do you? In your home.
No.
Well then, Mr. Gorm was merciful, was he not? You yourself approve. Is it not so? Well, is it not so?
If your mercy is so cruel, what do you have for justice?
Sorry. That is just the way things are.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
Photographs of John Merrick. Mrs. Kendall, you are acquainted with his appearance.
He reminds me of an audience I played Cleopatra for in Brighton once. All huge grim head and grimace and utterly unable to clap.
Well, my aim is to lead him to as normal a life as possible. His terror of us all comes from having been held at arm's length from society. I am determined that that shall end. Oh, please. For example, he loves to meet people and to converse. I am determined that he shall. For example, he has never seen the inside of any normal home before. I had him to mine. And what a reward, Mrs. Kendall. His joy and his astonishment at the most ordinary things. Most critical, I feel, however, are women. I shall explain. They have always had the most intense fear and loathing of him, while he adores them, of course.
Ah, then he is intelligent.
I am convinced that they are the key to retrieving him from his exclusion. Though I must warn you, to John Merrick, women are not quite real. They are more like creatures of his imagination.
Then he is already like other men, Mr. Treves.
So I thought an actress could help. I mean, unlike most women, you won't give in. You are trained to hide your true feelings and to assume others.
You mean unlike most women. I am famous for it. That is really all.
Well, in any case, if you could just enter his room and smile and say good morning, and then when you leave, if you could shake his hand. The left one is usable and really quite beautiful. And say, I am very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick.
Well, shall we try it? Left hand out, please. I'm very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick. I am very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick. I am very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick. No, no. I am very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick. Yes, yes, I think that one.
By God, they were all splendid. Merrick will be so pleased. It will be the day he becomes a man, like other men.
Speaking of that, Mr. Treves.
Frederick, please.
Frederick, may I commit an indiscretion?
Yes.
Well, I could not help but notice from the photographs that of the afflicted parts, how shall I put this?
Oh. Yes, I understand. No, no, it's quite normal.
I thought as much.
Medically speaking, the papillomatous extrusions which disfigure him seem to correspond quite regularly with the osseous deformities. Oh, yes, of course. What I mean to say is there seems to be a link between the bone disorders and the fungus skin growths, though for the life of me, I have not yet discovered what it is or why it is, but in any case, the part which you indicated would be unlikely to be afflicted because because there's no bone in it. No bone at all. I mean,
well, we learn a little every day. No.
I am horribly embarrassed.
Then he must be lonely, indeed.
He wants someday to construct the model, you see. John, this is Mrs. Kendall. She would very much like to make your acquaintance.
Good morning, Mr. Merrick.
I must attend to a few matters, if you will excuse me. I shall return shortly.
I had planned to say so many things. I forgot them. You are so beautiful.
How charming, Mr. Merrick.
Well, really, that...
Slowly. Slowly.
That's what I plan to say. But I forgot what I plan to say. Couldn't think of anything else. I was so excited.
Real charm is always planned, don't you think?
I don't know why I look like this, Mrs. Kendall. My mother was so beautiful. She was knocked down by an elephant in the circus. Well, she was pregnant. Something must have happened, don't you think?
It may well have.
It may well have. But sometimes I think my head is so big. Because it is so full of dreams. Because it is. Do you know what happens when dreams cannot get out?
No. No.
I don't either. Something must. You are a famous actress.
I am not unknown.
You must display yourself for a living, then, like I did.
Well, that is not myself. Romeos are very undependent.
Because Romeo does not care about Juliet.
Not care?
Does he take her pulse? Does he get a doctor? Does he make sure? No, he kills himself. The illusion fools him because he does not care about her. He only cares
about it himself. If I had been Romeo, we would have got away.
Then there would have been no play, Mr. Meredith.
If he does not love her, why should there be a play? Looking in a mirror and seeing nothing, that is not love. That is an illusion. And when the illusion ended, he had to kill himself.
Why, that is extraordinary.
Before I spoke with people, I did not think these things, for there was no one to bother to think them for. But now things just come out of my mouth which are true.
John, look, you're famous. We are in the papers. They've printed up my report to the Pathological Society. Look.
Frederick, I feel Mr. Merrick would benefit my even more company than you provide. In fact, by acquainting him with the best and they with him, I shall make this my task if you will permit me. As you know, I'm a friend of nearly everyone. And I do pretty well as I please. And what pleases me is this task.
My God, Mrs. Kendall, you are splendid.
I must go now, Mr. Moore. Oh, I will return again, if you will permit me. And so that we may, without delay, teach you about society, I should like to bring my good friend, Dorothy Lady Neville. She would be most pleased to meet you. Let me tell her yes. Until next time, I'm sure your church model will surprise us all. Mr. Mellon, it has been a very great pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Your hand, John. Wishes to shake your hand.
Thank you for coming.
But it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Countess.
I am very pleased to have made your acquaintance. Here's the silver top walking stick, medic. Make your regular Piccadilly X with it. Keep up the good work. The self-help is the best example to us all.
Thank you, Lord John.
My medic, please. You have made your request.
That was very kind of you, Lord John.
I'm so glad you decided to invest. Pray.
Her Royal Highness, the Princess Alexandra.
The happiest of Christmases, Mrs. Manning.
Her Royal Highness has brought you a signed photograph of herself.
I am honored, Your Royal Highness.
It's the treasure of my possession. I am a regimental Prince Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales. So thank you for the present. And Woodcock sent me.
You are a credit to Mr. Queen, Mr. Manning.
Good news, John. Betty says we may use the royal box whenever I like. Mrs. Keppel says it gives a unique perspective. And for Christmas, ivory handled razors and a toothbrush.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Kendall.
And a silver cigarette case, my boy, full of cigarettes.
Oh, thank you, Frederick.
Look, Betty, look. The model of St. Philip's.
It is remarkable, I know.
And I do it with just one hand, they all say.
You are an artist, young man. An artist.
I did not begin to build it first. Not until I saw what St. Philip's really was. It is not just stone and steel and glass. It is an imitation of grace. Flying up and up from the mud. And so I make my imitation of an imitation. But even in that is heaven to me, Mrs. Kendall.
That thought has a good line, John. Plato believed this was all a world of illusion, and that artists made illusions of illusions of heaven.
You mean we are all copies of originals?
Yes, that's it.
Who made the copies?
God. The demiurge.
He should have used both hands, shouldn't he?
Why all these toilet articles? Tell me, he's too deformed to use any of them.
Crafts, of course, to make himself, as I make me.
You think of yourself
as... Well, he is charming, almost feminine, gentle, honest, within limits. He is a true artist. He is almost like me.
He is religious and devout. He knows salvation must radiate to us, or all is lost, which it certainly is not.
He seems practical, like me. He has seen enough of daily evil to be thankful for the small goods that come his way. He knows which side his bread and butter are, and counts his blessings for it, like me.
I can speak with him of anything. For I know he is discreet, like me.
How odd. I think him curious, compassionate, concerned about the world. Rather like myself. Freddy Treves, A.D. 1889.
Of course he is rather odd, and hurt, and helpless not to show the struggling. And so...
He knows that I use him to raise money for the London, I am certain. He understands that I would be derelict if I didn't. He is wary of any promise, yet he fits in well, like me.
I, as a seminarist, have many of the same doubts. Struggled as he does, and hope they may be overcome.
When my husband, His Royal Highness, Edward Prince of Wales, asked Mr. Treves to be his personal surgeon, he said, "Dear Freddy, if you can put up with that elephant bloke, you could surely put up with me."
See you out of fashion, Freddy. He sees me out of fashion. The usual thing, social contacts are critical.
Merrick is visibly worse since 86, 87. That as he rises higher and higher in the consolations of society, he grows visibly more grotesque. is proof definitive that he is like me. Like his condition, which I can make no sense of. I can make no sense of mine. The papers are saying you've broken the contracts, that you've lost the money.
Freddy, forget the bloody papers. All lies. Look, if I were such a scoundrel, how'd I dare face investors like yourself?
Broken contracts. I never considered them actual contracts, just preliminary things get the whole thing on the way. Look, I'm only here to say the company remains a terribly attractive proposition, don't you think? Now, if you could spare another one. Oh, Mr. Garden, how good to see you. Yes, just remarking how splendidly Medic thrives here, thanks to you. And Freddy.
I'm terribly sorry, Lord Johns, but I'm afraid I must take Frederick away from you. Keep him at work. It's in his contract. We wouldn't want him to break it, would we? Sort of thing makes the world fly apart.
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry to hear that you're so pressed. Expect we won't be seeing very much of you around the London anymore.
Well, of course, I actually... overdue, actually. Appointments in the city.
Freddy?
Mr. Gall?
Very fool. He was kind to Merrick.
No. That is too simple. Lord John is a swindler and a fake. You have risen fast and easily. You've forgotten how to protect yourself.
I thought him rather afraid.
He's a one-man moral swamp. Freddy, I know it is your money. But I will not tolerate, labouring like a navvy, that the London should represent honest and compassionate science, and finding titled swindlers mucking up the pitch. He broke the contracts and gambled away the money. The scandal is his problem, not yours.
Yes, but he did.
Never mind the details, I don't want to know. Just break and be glad. Freddy, do not hesitate. Today. Swamp? Don't be sucked in.
Of course.
Freddy.
He used us. I should be all right. Come.
I shall not be able to stay this visit, John. I must unravel a few things.
Yes, Ireland and Snork are...
friendly and respectful, Frederick.
Good. Then all is well. I'll stop by in a few days.
Did I do something wrong?
No.
This is a hospital. Do not ever forget. This is not a marketplace.
That is your mother, is it not? She is very pretty, isn't she?
Can Frederick
keep his word with me. His contact, Mrs. Kendall, if he is in trouble.
Did you say?
And will you?
I what? Will I?
I found a good home, Russ. I forgave you.
Oh, well, I was hoping we could work out a deal. So, but you, man?
No.
Oh, I was counting on it, see? That you was kind-hearted, like myself. Some people don't change. You've got to put your money on the things that don't, I figure. I figure from what I read about you, you don't change. You should, ladies, coming to see you, huh? Ask myself why. Figure it's the same as it always was. Make them feel better about themselves, they can bury them. And be no shame. There, but for the grace of. So I figure you're still selling the same service as always, only to a better clientele. Only difference now is you ain't charging for it.
You make me sound like a whore.
Well, you are. I am. They are. Most are. It's no disgrace, John. Only disgrace is to be a stupid whore. Give it for free, not capitalize on the interest in you. Now, not to have a manager is stupid.
You see this church? I am building it. The people who visit me are friends, not clients. I am not a dog walking on his hind legs.
Well, see, now I was thinking, charge these people. Pleasure all the elephant man's property. So, right spirit is everything. Charge in the right spirits and they pay happily. And I take care. 10%? I do all right with 10%.
Bad luck's made you dark.
I helped you, John. I discovered you. Was that daft? No. Only daftness was being at a gold mine without a shovel. Without proper connections like Treves has. What's daft? Lost sows? Treves harvest? It's not fair, now is it, John, when you think about it? And I do think about it. Because I'm old. I got something in my throat here, you may have noticed. Something in my lung here, too. Something in my belly, too, I guess. I'm not a heap of health, am I? But I do all right with 10%. Now, I don't need more than 10%. 10% will give me a future. Slightly better than a cobblestone. See, I figure this lot will pay happily if you charge in the right spirit. Now, I don't ask much.
They are the cream, Russ. They know it. A man like you tries to make them pay, they'll walk away.
I'm talking about doing it in the right spirit.
They are my friends. I'll lose everything for you. You lived your life. You robbed me. £48, 2 shillings, and 9 pence. You kept me like an animal in darkness. You left me to die. You come back. You want to rob me again. Won't you be satisfied? And now, I'm a man like others. You want me to return?
You had a woman yet?
Is that all that makes a man?
Well, in my day, it'd do for a start.
Not all that makes this one. Though I am like others.
Then I am condemned. I got no energy to try nothing new. I may as well go to a doss house street and die there anyway, between filthy doss house rags. Nothing in my belly but acid. Now I don't like pain, John, and the future gives pain since. Now without the future.
I'm sorry, Russ. It's just the way things are.
By God. Then I am lost.
The prince has a mistress. That Irishman had one. Everyone seems to. Or a wife. Some have both. I have concluded I need a mistress. It is bad enough not to sleep like others.
Sitting up, you mean? Yes, it can't be very restful.
I have to. Too heavy to lay down my head. But to sleep alone, that is worst of all.
A true artist expresses his love through his works. That is civilization.
Are you very shocked?
Why should I be?
I should be.
Well, I am not others.
I suppose it is hopeless.
Nothing is hopeless. However, it is unlikely.
I thought you might have a few ideas.
Ideas here.
You don't know something, Mrs. Kendall. I have never even seen a naked woman.
Surely
I mean a real woman.
One more real than another?
In the theatre. In the opera.
You cannot mean they are more real.
I mean in the audience. A woman not worn out early. Not deformed by awful life. A lady. Respectful. Kept up. You don't know what fairgrounds are like, Mrs. Kendall.
You mean someone like her? Princess Alexandra.
She does not look happy, no.
Dorothy?
Not sold.
Lady M.
Stupid. Certain women, they have a kind of rightness. They seem to stop at the perfect point.
She doesn't exist.
Probably why I never saw her.
And what does your good friend Bishop Howe say to all this?
He says I should put these thoughts out of my mind.
Oh, is that the best he can suggest?
Oh, I put them out of my mind. Snap. They reappear.
What about Frederick?
No. You would be a fool if I told him.
Little trust has named my life. That is another
story. What a rain! Are we going to read this afternoon?
Yes. Some women are lucky to look well. That is all. It is a rather arbitrary gift. It has no really good use. Although it has its uses, I will say that. However, it does not signify very much.
To me it does.
Well, you are mistaken.
What are we going to read?
Trust is very important to me. I trust you.
Thank you very much. I have a book. Thomas Hardy is here. He is a friend of Frederick's. Shall we read this?
Turn around a moment. Don't look.
Is this a game?
No. I would hardly call it a game. A surprise.
A surprise? What kind of surprise?
I saw photographs of you before I met you. You didn't know that, did you?
The ones from the first time in 84.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Well, I thought they were unjust. I don't know why. I cannot say my sense of justice is my most highly developed characteristic.
It is the most beautiful sight I have seen ever.
If you tell anyone about this, we shall never see each other again. We shall not speak. We shall not read. We shall do nothing. No illusions now.
What is going on?
For a moment, Freddy. Paradise.
Have you no sense of decency? Dress yourself, woman. And you. Are you not ashamed? Do you know what you are? Don't you know what is forbidden?
What is there to say? I am extremely pleased to have made your request.
I had a patient once, though. A woman
operated on her for a woman's thing, used ether to anesthetize, very tricky stuff. Didn't come out of it. Pulse stopped, no vital signs, absolutely moribund. Just a big, white, dead mackerel. 5 minutes later, she fretted back into existence, like a lost explorer with a great scoop of the undiscovered.
She saw heaven.
Well, I'll quote her. It was neither heavenly nor hellish, rather like perambulating through a London fog. People drifted by, but no one spoke. London, mind you. Hell's probably the provinces. She was shocked it wasn't more exotic, but the loudest hour had she stayed and got used to the familiar, so to speak, it gave hints of becoming a kind of bliss. She fled.
If you don't believe, why did you send Mrs. Kendall away?
You know why.
If you don't...
Don't forget it saved you once. My interference. You know very well it was not proper.
How can I tell if you don't believe?
There are still standards that we abide by.
They make us happy because they are for our own good.
Not all.
Oh?
Look, if you're angry, just say it.
Whose standards are they?
I am not in the mood for this chipping away at the edges, sir.
They do not always make us happy, because they are not always for our own good.
Well, everyone's. Mine. Everyone's.
At woman's? At Juliet's?
What Juliet?
Who died, then came back.
Yes, yes, yes. Her standards, too.
So?
So? What?
Did you see her naked?
When I was operating, yes, of course.
Oh?
Look, I'm trying to read about anesthetics. Oh, what?
Is it all right to see them naked if you cut them up afterwards?
Good Lord. I'm a surgeon. That is science.
She died. Mrs. Kendall didn't die.
But she came back, too.
And Mrs. Kendall didn't, if you mean that.
There's simply no comparison.
Oh.
That woman came to me for a... Well, what I mean to say is... That is science. That's all it is. It's not love, you know.
Is that all you're worried about anesthetics?
It could just be a boon to surgery.
Because you don't love them.
Love has got nothing to do with surgery.
Do you lose many patients, Frederick?
Some.
Oh.
Can't you understand? What difference does it make if I or any surgeon loves her or any patient? Or not? And what conceivable difference to you?
Because it is your standards we must abide by.
For God's sake, if you're angry, just say so. I won't turn you out, you know. Say it. I am angry. Go on. I am angry. Say it, will you? I am angry!
I believe in heaven.
It is not all right to see them naked if you cut them up afterwards. Eh? Good Lord, you make me sound like Jack the Ripper.
Oh, no, Frederick. without anesthetics. You are merciful.
Are you having me on?
I am myself, and truth is it not so? Well, is it not so?
About Mrs. Kendall, John. Perhaps I was wrong. I don't know what's been getting into me lately, taking too much on, I think.
Will she come back, Mrs. Kendall?
I will speak to her again.
But will she?
No. No, I don't think so.
Oh.
There are other things involved, John. Just other things.
Well, other things. Excuse me. Just go to the loo now. Why won't she?
Protect himself, he has gone to sleep.
I must examine him, Mr. Gong. I am Merrick, I am with the mutations across the road.
It will be an inconvenience, he is the mainstay of our institution.
I must examine him. I had only, of course, wished to examine him. I had not, of course, dreamed of...
Ah, very well. But have him back by breakfast time or you feed him. Stand up, Frederick. Up, you bloody donkey, up!
The most striking feature about him, note, the terrifyingly normal head. This allowed him to lie down normally and therefore to dream in the exclusive personal manner without the dreams of others accumulating to break his neck. Mouth, deformed by satisfaction, being a hub of the best of existent worlds, was rendered therefore utterly incapable of self-critical speech, thus of the ability to change. Heart showed signs of worry at this unchanging yet untenable state. Surgeon's hands were well developed and strong, capable of the most delicate carvings up. Right arm was of enormous power, yet so incapable of distinction between the assertion of authority and the charitable act of giving, that it was often to be found disgustingly beating others for their own good. The left was slighter and fairer, and may be seen in typical position and covering the genitals, which were treated of the Salem colony, constant need of restriction, governance, and punishment. To add a further burden to his trouble, the wretched man, when a boy, developed a disabling spiritual duality, was therefore unable to feel what others feel, nor reach harmony with them. Please. He would thus be denied all means of escape from those he had tormented. Yes.
You have shown a profound and unknown disorder to us. You have said that when he leaves here, it is for his prior life again. I do not think it ought to be permitted. It is a disgrace. It is a pity and a disgrace. It is an indecency, in fact. It may be a danger in ways we do not know. Something ought to be done about it.
We hope in 20 years we will understand enough to put an end to this affliction.
20 years, sir? That is unacceptable.
Had we caught it earlier, things might have been different. Truth is, I am afraid, we are dealing with an epidemic.
Christ?
Yes.
report. He doesn't know, does he?
The bishop?